capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Hello and welcome to the Level Talk programme. My name's John Harrison. Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, announced on the 9th of September that the UK government is to push for new legislation in England to relax a 50% cap on intake of pupils by reference to parents' faith if the school is oversubscribed. This has come at the same time as the Education Secretary has indicated ministers would not be returning to the past, although plans were announced at the same time that the number of grammar schools is going to be dramatically increased. The government states that it wishes to allow more faith schools to open, but at the same time wishes to, quote, make sure that pupils integrate with children of other backgrounds, end quote. The new plans could lead to the opening of thousands of new Catholic schools throughout the UK, and the Church of England has also made it clear in the Chaddock report published recently that it wishes to establish hundreds of Anglican schools over the next 5 years. Now, is all this a good thing or not? Do we benefit from a plurality of secondary education? Or are faith schools really entrenching religious divergences in society? To talk about these issues, I'm joined by Peter Kearney, the director of the Scottish Catholic Media Organisation, and Douglas McLellan, the vice chair of the Scottish Secular Society. Welcome to the programme, both you gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
This is obviously a hugely emotive issue and covers a wide panorama of different topics. Perhaps we could just start going over some of the main arguments for and against faith schools. I think listeners will perhaps appreciate that. We shall try and have a just and equal discussion. It's obviously difficult in issues like this. Okay, so what about admission policies? Now, the humanist, if you like, point of view is that faith schools select pupils on the basis of their parents' religion, which entrenches religious and, in some case, ethno-religious divisions in society, as well as perpetuating socio-economic inequality, and this is bad for social cohesion, they say. Now, what is your point of view on that angle, please? Peter Kearney, would you like to start?
Yes, thank you, John. I think the first point I would probably want to make would be to say that I think living in a plural society where there's a plurality of beliefs and faiths and so on is a good thing. I hope everyone who's listening would agree with that. If we agree that living in a plural society is a good thing, then I don't think it's too big a step to say that our education system should reflect our society. In other words, we shouldn't ever impose a one-size-fits-all dogmatic state-enforced system on everyone. We should allow diversity, plurality to flourish. On the narrower point of entrenching people's beliefs by a selective admissions policy, in reality, I think we would all agree also that if faith schools didn't exist, there's no suggestion that parents wouldn't bring their children up in accordance with their faith. Mm-hmm. So the idea that somehow faith schools remove faith and religion from society is plainly absurd. I mean, to speak on the specific example of Scotland, we have Catholic schools in Scotland, but we don't have Catholic schools in every part of Scotland. The further north you go, the fewer schools mm-hmm. there are. But parents, Catholic parents who live in the north or the far north of Scotland, still bring their children up as Catholics, albeit they don't go to Catholic schools. So there's really no logic at all in suggesting it removes religion. But more chillingly is the suggestion that somehow we should remove religion from society. Surely at this time, in an uncertain world, one thing we would clearly see is that we all need to have a better understanding of religion and mm-hmm. belief in all its forms. And I would include in that the belief system of secular humanism, which is a belief system in itself.
Okay.
As well.
I think that this is very interesting points you brought up. You already brought up about 10 points, which we could perhaps unpack. But just one thing I'd like to ask you, Douglas. I mean, if you didn't have faith schools, and as Peter Kearney just suggested, you didn't have any faith schools, people would still bring up their children as Roman Catholics. So why have them? Douglas McLennan.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, people are free to obviously bring up their children as they wish within the faith that they wish. The issue for the Scottish Secular Society is that bringing children up in a faith is allowed, but then having the state provide a level of support in that, a level of protection within society and a level of funding within society to say, well, actually, this group is special. This group gets to have a special education system, mm-hmm. a special way of raising the children that isn't afforded to everyone else, that isn't then replicated or supported in other schools or sectors of society, means that we'd either have to embrace this complete idea of plurality within every aspect of our lives and say, well, actually, you know, there's no reason to have anything coherent. There's no reason to join everything together. Or we can say, well, actually, education is very important. And in a plural society, having a common education actually encourages mm-hmm. people to look at each other and see both the similarities and the differences. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think it's difficult for a state to say, we'll protect one, you know, group of people, but not another.
Yeah. Mr. Kearney, Peter, that's an interesting point, isn't it? I think the idea that faith schools are okay, but the objection perhaps is that they enjoy a certain amount of support, which sort of, in a way, sort of they're very privileged. You know, sort of the state schools are in the position of privilege to be able to enjoy that state support and really get away with what they want, in terms of curriculum and so on. How do you feel about that? Criticism.
Two points. First one would be that they absolutely don't get away with what they want. I mean, certainly speaking in the Scottish situation, the schools operate absolutely within all government national guidelines, and national curriculum is exactly what's taught in the schools. So they don't get away with what they want. Having said that, you know, Douglas does have a point here in that we do have a strange hybrid of a system in that, you know, if your beliefs in Scotland happen to be Catholic, or in the case of one school, a Jewish school, and one other, an Episcopalian school, then you do have the option of a faith-based education within the state sector. But other people don't. Now, south of the border in England and Wales, there's far greater diversity and plurality in that there are Baptist schools and there are Anglican schools, there are Catholic, there are Jewish, there are Muslim, and so on. So it more closely reflects society. So that's true. But I would suggest the response to that is not to abolish what little diversity exists in the system at the moment, rather increase and expand it. The second point I would make, though, perhaps is the more important point, is this false promise, unfortunately, that is often made that somehow if children are educated, if they're schooled together, if they play in the same playgrounds and if they eat their lunch together in the same dinner halls, then somehow the panacea of societal calm and friendly relations will result. There isn't, frankly, a shred of evidence from anywhere in the world that that happens. And sadly, but tellingly, the best example of that is probably in France. France has exactly the sort of one-size-fits-all secular education system that Douglas proposes. And we have seen some of the most appalling religious hatred in France. It's worth remembering that many of those who committed things like the Bataclan attacks in Paris and other terrorist outrages were schooled side by side in exactly those secular schools in France that we have been told offer the pathway to harmony.
Thank you very much. It's a very good point and you express it very well. Douglas, can you address that particular issue?
I think, you know, from what I know of the background of the individuals involved in that, I think there's far less to do with their education and their general exclusion from society. When you take one group and say, well, actually, you're different, you have to go to the edge, you have to be different, you're no longer part of this society. It wasn't their faith that excluded them, it was general society in France. I think, you know, when in Scotland, you know, when we have joint school campuses between non-denominational and Catholic schools, and we have things like, we used to have things like fences down the middle of playgrounds, we have Catholic toilets in these schools. That is the level of difference that's trying to be enforced in Scotland, and I don't think that actually works for anybody.
Yeah. Okay, that's a very good point. Now, let's move on to education standards. Now, some people are saying that because in faith schools, basically, teachers should at least believe in what they're teaching. That is, in a Catholic school, teachers should be Catholics. In Anglican school, teachers should be Anglicans. Now, this places a sort of limit on headmasters' abilities to be able to recruit the best teachers for the best places. And this can be seen to limit education standards. Do you feel that is a problem, Mr. Kearney?
Quite the opposite. No, I feel it's actually a contributing factor to the success of faith schools and, for that matter, other specialist schools. In Scotland, for example, we have Gaelic medium schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to teach in a Gaelic medium school, a prerequisite would be that the teacher is able to speak Gaelic. I don't think anyone would suggest, well, it clearly is discriminating against teachers who can't speak Gaelic. Obviously, that's true. But on the other hand, that's because the ethos, the identity of those schools is as Gaelic medium schools. And likewise with Catholic schools. The fact that the schools are successful really is the result of a set of common values, a shared ethos. And we know that in every organisation, whether it's a football team or a political party or a company for that matter, where there are values held in common by those who are part of the organisation, where there's an ethos that they all share and uphold and is reinforced in all that they do, these organisations are successful. And the reality, as we said right at the beginning of the programme, is we live in a multicultural, multi-faith, plural society where mm-hmm. people have different values. And these values should be cherished, they should be respected, provided that, of course, they operate within the legal norms and the mainstream educational requirements
okay.
of society.
Okay, thank
they
you.
They should be cherished.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. But what happens if we have another 1,000 or more Catholic schools? And you know, then there's more pressure on headmasters. It's going to be more difficult for them to find the right people.
The schools will only exist where the demand exists for them. I mean, no one's going to start creating schools unless there is a demand for them. So I think they may be, to be honest, phantom figures. And the demand and parental choice is what will lead this, and I think we should respect that.
Okay, on that issue, I'd just like to bring another side topic here now, talking about demand. Now, is that because not enough funding is going into the state schools, and that parents feel that they would like to send their children to a faith school because academic standards there are better? And could the issue really be money, Douglas McLennan?
I don't think so. I think mm-hmm. one of the issues for the demand is this perception that some schools may be better than other schools. And it really, then, you need to start looking at the socioeconomic background of the parents and the families who are sending their children to faith schools. One of the more interesting pieces of research that I've read shows that where a parent is interested in the school selection, even if they do not actually get the school that they want, that child does better than the rest of their cohort, or you know, better than a lot of their cohort, precisely because a parent is interested in their education. If we're talking about shared value, the shared value is not the faith. The shared value is that a good education is vital for a child. I mean, the Scottish Secular Society has supporters who are actually teachers in Catholic schools, but they are desperately afraid that their careers could be damaged by association with our organisation, because they know that the shared cherished values that Peter was talking about are not ones that they share, not ones that actually come to the Scottish Secular Society. So they can't join us, they can't become our board members, because they're scared that the schools will find out, and their ability to educate children, this Catholic way of teaching 1 + 1 or ABC, is in some way inferior to the fact, you know, that they don't actually share that Catholic belief. And I think that's really
mm-hmm.
odd.
Mm-hmm.
What shared value we all have is that the value of education is vital for children.
Okay, let's take a short break here.
Capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Welcome back to Level Talk Programme. Today I'm joined by Peter Kearney, the director of the Scottish Catholic Media Organisation, and Douglas McLennan, the vice chair of the Scottish Secular Society, and we're talking about a recent push by the UK government to allow the number of faith schools in the UK to increase. Now, carrying on about academic standards, there are criticisms levied at faith schools, Peter, that because they're able to, in a way, select students, perhaps not as much as public schools do in the UK, but nevertheless there is some kind of selection there based on the faith of the parents, they're more likely to select children from a kind of more middle class background, if you like, than a working class background. And therefore one could argue that, you know, classroom behaviour is going to be better, education standards in general are going to be easier, higher education standards are going to be easier to achieve because they've got sort of, in quotes, a nicer students. Do you hear what I'm saying, Mr. Cutting?
Well, I hear what you're saying,
yeah.
But unfortunately, it simply isn't true. Neither is there a shred of evidence to support it. That would be completely and utterly illegal. The only basis on which Catholic schools, certainly in Scotland, can select pupils is on the basis of whether or not they're Catholics, baptised Catholics. Once the quota of pupils who want to apply to a Catholic school have applied, if there are spaces left over, then anyone can apply. And an important point to make about diversity is Catholic schools in Scotland, because of the fact that the Catholic population is a minority, have to draw their pupil roll from a much, much bigger catchment area than non-denominational schools. So demonstrably what happens there is you are much more likely to encounter a wide socio-economic demographic in a Catholic school than you will in a non-denominational school, because they can tend, because their size means that they only need to draw from smaller catchment areas, so they tend to very, very closely reflect the socio-economic demographic of the location in which they are based. With Catholic schools, there's a diversity because they must pull in their pupils from much, much bigger catchment areas. But the only criteria used there is whether or not the pupils or their families are Catholics. That's all. It's nothing to do with their socioeconomic status.
Really? Okay, I'd like to hear what you think about that point of view, Douglas McLennan.
Well, Peter said there's absolutely no evidence. Of course, that's completely wrong. In 2014, the British Humanist Association went to court and found with the Office of the Schools Adjudicator found that admission policies of the London Oratory School to be discriminatory on the basis of ethnicity and socioeconomic background. And that was, you know, clearly something that had been happening for a while. Pupils are being selected in faith schools. Faith schools have a reputation to protect in terms of their alleged increase in quality of the education. So that's, you know, when they start doing things like selection processes. Peter's right, in Scotland it is different. For Catholic schools, it is the only entry requirement really is Catholic parentage and Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
But even there, education and research shows that where a well-educated parent retains their faith as they've gone through university and things like that and into a well-paying job and a good background, their desire to send their children to a faith-based school is actually much higher than those who are perhaps educated in a faith-based school and mm-hmm. then who don't. So there is a natural desire to say, well, actually, who's sending the children to the school down the road with all their friends, and then who's maybe sending the children to schools across towns or in the next county, depending on where these schools happen to be located. I don't think it's purely as simple just to say, well, it's a faith-based thing, and I think mm-hmm. there are consequences because of that.
Okay, Peter, I'd like to give the opportunity to rebut that quickly, then I'd like to move on to another theme, please.
Quickly, on the question of the admissions yeah. policies of Catholic schools in England, I'm really not competent to comment on that. That would really be for someone from the Catholic Church in England and Wales to respond. And I am aware that, as Douglas has suggested, the criteria used and the policies applied are different from those which apply in England. In Scotland. And on that basis, there isn't any type of socioeconomic demographic. The only other point I would make would be that with parents have an active interest in their children's education, regardless of their beliefs or regardless of their economic status, then yes, of course, the children are more likely to succeed in education than otherwise.
Right. Thank you.
Indeed.
I mean, this great thing about these programmes is that people can come on air and actually say what they think, and I'm not going to judge you. You know, listeners, that's your job. Let's move on to another issue involved in this whole issue about religion in schools. Now, I mean, modernism, you know, the human progress, the acceptance of different lifestyles, different gender politics. We live in a century now where it's accepted that, gays can get married, lesbians can get married. The world has completely changed. There is a problem, isn't there, Peter? Because faith schools are sort of fixed in time according to religious beliefs, which may not change in sync with secular society in different parts of the world. And I understand that, you know, you're based in Scotland, but just in a wider, in a sort of UK, European scale at least, how do you feel about the fact that faith schools don't really change in those respects?
I think, to be honest, to have a set of solid underlying beliefs which you can use to interpret what you have quite rightly described as a fast-changing and an ever-changing world is a wonderful thing. And I think it's something that is, you know, an enormous attraction to people around the world. It's why religion is so popular. It's why we are, without question, spiritual beings. You know, the whole concept of belief and transcendence is something that has fascinated humanity since the beginning of time, and I suspect it always will. So to pretend that it doesn't exist or we somehow should ignore it in any particular facet of our life is probably both futile and pointless. But on the question of, you know, whether or not a faith-based perspective leads to either demonization or intolerance, etc., again, I can only speak from the Catholic perspective, but on the question of tolerance to one another and pupils of all descriptions in Catholic schools, there is an absolutely zero tolerance approach to things like bullying and discrimination. There's no basis, there's no justification, there can never be any grounds for it. And that is clearly something that all Catholic schools would do. I don't think anyone is seriously saying that any of our teachers in any of our schools are promoting bigotry, intolerance or hatred, quite the opposite. That's not to say that all different types of discrimination and bigotry don't exist in society, including, sadly, often quite strong mm-hmm. anti-Catholic bigotry. Of course, that does exist in society, but it's certainly not perpetuated by our schools, any of our schools, and I don't just speak for Catholic ones here, quite the opposite. I think our schools do a wonderful job in highlighting and countering it.
Okay, thank you very much. Douglas, your opinion on that?
I think you're right that the modernity has changed a lot of outlooks, and I think mm-hmm. we're looking for a set of values that can then be used rather than religious values. I think human rights and equality should be the key ways to educate children across the world, to say this is how we should be raising people, that we should be raising people who fully understand their rights, fully understand their beliefs are theirs, but then, you know, if other people have different beliefs, they're not to be seen as segregated, to be othered, to be made different. And I think mm-hmm. you do get a dangerous situation where you do have religious education and religious schools and faith schools saying, well, actually, we are different. And often, because of the way the religion works, we're different because we have this faith, and that makes us slightly better than everyone else. I think to give the Scottish Catholic education system its due, I mean, a lot of what it wants to say and what it wants to teach is actually available on its website. So no one can actually question really where it's going, you know, in terms of a lack of understanding. The bigger difficulty is not necessarily in Scotland, but in England we have faith schools where it's been shown that you may have boards of very religious people who want to take the school in a very religious direction, to the exclusion of things like human rights, to the exclusion of things like equality. And then you have that type of difficulty to say, well, actually, what's happening in those schools? There are Jewish schools who are barely inspected, whose boys from the age of about 12, all they're taught is the Torah. Mm-hmm. That is it. That's not an equal education system. That is not something that's teaching human rights.
I mean, I hate to say it, but so political instincts immediately forces me to think that perhaps this is a way to change society. If we go back to certain traditional religious values, then we're moving away from modernism in a way. I don't know if we can say we're moving back, but we're certainly not going further in this modernist direction. Do you think that could be the policy behind this?
Surely, yeah. Just to endorse what Douglas said on the mm-hmm. importance of human rights, I agree entirely that that's crucially important. Everything we do is within the framework of internationally agreed human rights. But I would also say, very, very importantly, Article 18 of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights speaks utterly clearly about religious freedom as a human right. And it doesn't just say that people have the right to express and hold and practice, but also to carry forward into every aspect of their lives and have their children educated in accordance with their religious beliefs. So human rights, of course, but freedom of religion is a human right.
But not have the state pay for it.
The issue here is that I would be more than happy to support the right of secularists or humanists in Scotland to have state-funded schools. And let's be honest, if Catholic schools were to close tomorrow, it wouldn't save the state a penny, and no one's suggesting, I hope, Catholic children shouldn't be educated. And their parents pay taxes for that, and the taxes are used for their education. So somehow, you know, rebranding the schools as no longer being Catholic wouldn't save any money. The teacher would still have to be paid, and the schools would still have to be maintained. There is no economic case whatsoever to be made in this particular
instance. Apart from money, one other big issue is just this being out of sync with modernity. And let's forget about, you know, gender politics. Let's talk about just basic things like creationism in science. And according to an article in Daily Telegraph in May, they found 54 private faith schools still being funded by local authorities, which continue to teach that Earth began with Adam and Eve. I mean, there is sort of out of syncness. I mean, aren't you worried, very quickly, Peter, that there is an aspect of being out of touch in a way, not just with modern secular society, but out of touch with reality itself.
Well, some of the proposals you've suggested might be taught in some schools. The creationist ones absolutely do appear to be out of sync with certainly with all modern scientific evidence. So I don't think, I certainly wouldn't endorse that. I don't know where those schools are. I suspect that they aren't in Scotland. But again, I made the point earlier that, you know, diversity in education is a wonderful thing, but with the proviso, of course, that what is taught fits in within the agreed national curriculum frameworks, as Catholic schools do. So allowing for that, I don't think there should be any difficulty. But that's not to endorse some people who fly in the face of that.
Very good. Douglas McLennan.
Well, I think Peter's right in terms of the education being a human right. I think when he says that, you know, schools wouldn't make any savings, I think, of course, what that actually does is open up the number of teachers available to teach in Catholic schools. As I was talking about earlier, there are those who worry about that in terms of, well, their ability to teach is actually seen secondary to their faith. In terms of modernity, the bigger issue, perhaps the bigger threat, is actually non-denominational schools in the UK, whose perhaps head teachers or governance teams or them or boards are particularly religious and want to take the schools who shouldn't have a faith ethos into a particular way of things. For example, as you say, teaching creationism. So I think, you know, faith in schools is a very difficult topic. So either we govern every school and every thought that every teacher and every board has in terms of where it wants to take education in terms of religion, or we say religion is a family matter, a matter for people in their own communities, a matter that says, you know, you have this faith, but education is a secular thing, a thing that values education above anything else.
Well, okay, I think I'm going to petition my bosses if we can increase the time allocated to this level talk programs to an hour and not 25 minutes, because we're still only scratching the surface of this topic, aren't we? But anyway, it's been fascinating talking to both of you. I hope it's been as interesting for you listeners as it has been for me. Thank you very much, Peter Kearney, Director of the Scottish Catholic Media Organisation, and Douglas McLennan, Vice Chair of the Scottish Secular Society. Tune in again next week. Goodbye.